receive what we have for you tonight, okay? So Genesis chapter 6, starting in verse 13, the Bible says, "And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." Now, Noah knows he's going to destroy it. But he says, "Now make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits." Now, again, he didn't understand why it has to be a certain size. He didn't understand how God is going to use it at that point, but he just has been given a blueprint. "A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. In the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower second and third stories shalt thou make it." Now verse 17. "And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you again tonight, thank you for this another opportunity just to be in church. And Lord, as we come to church, we want to have an ear to hear what you have to say to us. We want to have a better understanding of the precious word that you have preserved for us. And so I pray tonight, God, that you would help each one to be able to listen and hear and apply that which you have for them. Pray that you would empower the teaching and the preaching of your word once again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, okay, so God has given him a blueprint. He has revealed to Noah that he's going to destroy the earth, and now he tells him what his work is on the earth for the rest of the time before he destroys the world. He said, "Noah, this is my plan for your life. This is the work that I have given you to do." Okay? And it would be for 120 years. That's how long it would take him, and that's how long God would strive with man to give grace, give them an opportunity to receive the grace before the judgment. And so he says to Noah, "This is my plan. This is what I have for you to do. My will for your life is to build this ark, realizing how I'm going to use it. I want you to build it." So after God tells Noah how to build the ark, then he tells him how he will destroy the world. God gives the inspiration and the motivation for Noah to do his work. Okay, he explains to him his work. He understands what God's will is for Noah. And now he's given him, if you will, some motivation, some inspiration to do the work and finish it. You got to finish it. You have to be committed to seeing it through. You have to be committed to doing what you have to do every day that you're alive, knowing it's my will for your life, and be focused on the end result of what I have for you to do. The end result is you're going to build the ark. And for you to do that for the next 120 years, this is what I'm going to give you for motivation. This is what I'm going to give you for inspiration. Can I tell you, that's God. I believe that we have the work. We understand what God has us here to do as the New Testament church. And I think that we ought to be able to understand the inspiration behind it and the motivation behind it to keep us focused on doing what God has said, "This is my work for you to accomplish in this amount of time." Now, he didn't tell us how long the church age is going to be, but as long as we are here, it is the work that God has called us to. So a lot of similarities here in understanding humanity and understanding an almighty creator God and how what he's doing here. So he gives us a work, and he will. He has given us that which, if we stay focused on it, will inspire us and will motivate us to do the work that he's called us to. Now, that's what we're looking at here tonight. And we find this in verse 17 and verse 18. I love what verse 22 says, because verse 22, after all this is given, we'll study some more of this next week. But in the end, it says, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. That's the ultimate goal for all of us. I trust that you understand that the ultimate goal for the Christian life is to accomplish all that God has me here to accomplish. I don't have the blueprint for everybody. Amen. Because I know the overall goal, but how long we're going to be here, how long you're going to be here, whatever years that God has given to you, whatever years God has given to me, I don't know that. But I know that in those years that he gives to us, he has something that he wants us to accomplish. As long as we're still here, we haven't done it all. We haven't finished the course. We're still running the race, amen? And we're still looking to run the race according to what God has us here to do. So put that in perspective there. So as we look at here, verse 17, I love what he says. Okay, now that he knows what the work is, no question about that, this is the work. Now he says, and behold, listen to this, Noah. I want you to grasp what I'm getting ready to tell you. I want you to hold on to this for the rest of your life. Behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh. Wow. So God's word as to what was to come was part of what would inspire and motivate Noah. I don't know about you, but the Christian life is all about the one who gave us the commission to do it. What's going to inspire me to give my life to it is to understand that it was given to me by even I, the great I am. What does that mean? That means that we have to understand the one who's given us the marching orders, the one who's given us the task, the one who has given us the work that needs to be done, is an omnipotent God. And if you understand that, and you understand the attributes of God, and you don't let this world or anyone else talk you out of your belief in who God is. And how do you know who God is? God tells us who he is. He tells us what he's capable of. He tells us what he has done in the past, what he is doing right now, and what he will do in the future. And when you understand that and you understand who God is and all of the attributes that he has revealed about himself, it will help motivate us, and not only motivate us, it will inspire us to do what God has told us to do. Wow. Behold, Noah, I know that I've given you a task that you truly don't fully understand. And I know that I've given you a task that only you can accomplish. You're not going to get the motivation to do this from the world. You're not going to get the inspiration from the flesh. If you're going to do this, and you have to behold who it is that is to inspire you. If you're going to accomplish this, then you have to understand who it is that's going to help motivate you. I am. Moses, that's how you need to answer anyone that asks you, who gives you the authority to do this? The I am. The present God. Not somebody that who was, and who will be, God has always spoken of concerning the I Am, the present God. He's always been present. He's always been eternal. He's always been omnipotent. He's always been omniscient. He has all of these attributes, and understanding the attributes, listen to me, helping us to understand who it is, who God is, will do something for us. It will inspire you. It will motivate you. If you just continue to remember who he is. Noah believed whatever God said would come to pass. Would come to pass. Because he believed him to be God. I believe Noah had this in his mind. If God said it, we can believe it. Don't have to fully understand it. Matter of fact, there's a lot of things that God reveals to us, that tells us, explains to us, that we cannot fully understand with a limited mind. We have limitations on our understanding. We have limitations on what we can fully fathom and grasp. That's why God just paints us a little picture from time to time. He gives us little insights and uses illustrations that we can understand. Especially in the book of Revelations, he reveals things to us in the book of Revelation that is somewhat symbolic, that helps us to understand all we can understand, but even understanding that does not fully explain what God's going to do. That makes sense? We can't fully understand the Trinity. So because I can't fully understand the Trinity, then I have to just assume the Trinity is not real. That's foolish. If God said it is real, whether you understand it or not, you can believe it. If God said it, believe it. Well, he doesn't use the word Trinity. He says these three are one. Come on. What is Trinity? Three. Three. And these three are one. What does that mean? That they're three in one. All three of them are equally God. Just because we cannot fully understand it. Now, I know in this very thing, we can't fully understand it, but we can have symbols that will help us relate to it. And they tell you like an egg. And they tell you like a candle with a wick and the flame and all the different things. And yes, you can go to those things and it can better help you understand. It's not going to help you to fully understand what we cannot fully understand. But we by faith say, if the Bible says it, because of who it is that said it, I believe it. Whatever this Bible reveals to us, you can believe it. True proven history will go hand in hand with the Word of God. True proven science will go hand in hand with the Word of God. That which the world is trying to tell you is proven science. If it goes opposite the Word of God, evidently it's not proven. Not by God's standards and not by the standards of anyone who believes in God. Amen. I love what he's just inspiring Noah. He's given Noah some motivation. And the very same thing is for us. We need to be inspired as believers. We need to be motivated as believers. It's not going to be easy. Do you think Noah's task was easy? But he was motivated to do it. And he was inspired to do it. And we can too. Nothing or no one could stop it from happening. Not man, nor Satan. Because God says, I, even I, know who I am. And I'm doing it. If you know who I am and he says he's going to do something, believe it. Amen. Believe it, understand that because of God is omnipotent, that has all power. He's not a man. He's not like you and I. We are limited, and if we can tell it. We are limited on how much energy we can give out in any one given day. And we tire. Some of us tire more easily than others. Amen. The more out of shape you are, the faster you're going to tire. And along with that, the older you are, the more you're going to tire than what you were when you were younger. It's just a matter of fact. But God is not one who tires of anything. God does not relinquish his power. He does not relinquish his strength. There's never a time when God is less powerful than any other time. He is all powerful. All the time. That's what this word omnipotent means. In the book of Revelation, let me just read you these verses. Revelation in chapter 19 and verse 6 says this about God. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as a voice of many waters, and as a voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. The greatest power of all is in control. Even when it seems like your boss is in control, your wife is in control, your children are in control. Listen to me. Ultimately, no. God is in control. What he allows to happen, he has to allow it or it's not going to happen. If he didn't allow it, and he didn't want it to happen, it's not going to happen. Put your faith in that kind of a God. Put your faith and trust in a God who can protect you no matter what, even in the lion's den, even the fiery furnace. That's the God that's omnipotent. 1 Timothy chapter 6 says this. You write it down if you'd like, but 1 Timothy in chapter 6, verse 13. First Timothy chapter 6 and verse 13, the Bible says, I give thee charge in the sight of God who quickeneth all things. He's the one that brings life to all things. Without God, there is no life. Who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and, listen right here, only potentate. The one that has all power, that is in control. Blessed and only potentate. The King of kings and the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality. That proves that Jesus is God. Amen. He has the very same attributes and he has the very same authority. He is omnipotent. Who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Say amen to that. Amen. That's what it said. Wow. It seems like God would have us to know the one who gives the marching orders for the Christian is omnipotent. I say this. I'm going to bring this to pass. Command this, whatever it might be. In Psalms 62 and verse 11 says this, power belongeth unto God because he is all powerful. Now, what is the practical application here? He's telling, as we look back there in our text tonight, that's what he is telling Noah now. He's given him the task. Noah has in his heart accepted the task without even knowing why he's going to build a boat, how he's going to destroy. But as he's accepted the task, now he has given him a little motivation. He's giving him a little inspiration. And he says, I do bring a flood. I'm doing it. Mark it down. It's coming. Practical application is what has God told us in this New Testament church age? Jesus told us that the New Testament church would stand until God calls it up. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's my church, Jesus says. One of the things that he'd come to do, establish his church. And God says, if the gates of hell shall not destroy it, if not going to destroy the church is not going to be destroyed. It's been 2,000 years. There have been many who have tried to destroy Christianity. Hitler and Stalin. Just to name a couple, there were so many others that claimed that we will stamp out Christianity. We will do away with God's word. We'll do away with the Bible. Those men are dead and in the grave. And the church is still strong. Why? Because I said it. I. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. That means the church will stand in every dispensation, in every time, every generation. The church will be here until Jesus calls the church up as the bride. Not only that, but according to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, he says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Verse 19, he reveals that God will work through it. What you bind on heaven, or bind on earth, bound in heaven. Look over there with me. I want you to see this. Matthew chapter 16. Everyone knows, you're pretty much familiar with the idea that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But verse 18, the very next verse, it gives us some clear insight that God is going to work through the church during this church age. That is God's vehicle that he is going to work through. And if he says he's going to continue to work through it and the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it, listen to me, he will do that. He says in verse 19, and I will give unto thee, the church, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. The true church has access to the very power of God, the power of heaven. How do we obtain that? We're doing it this month. Prayer and fasting. God's tool. That's how we get access to the power from God. Amen. And I will give thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. God says, not only is the church going to be here, it's the vehicle that I'm going to work through during the entire church age. If you're smart, you are thinking right now, if that's what God's working through, I'm going to be a part of it. If I know who God is, and he says he's established his church, and I'm going to work through that church, and you're going to have access to the power of heaven, makes me want to say, I want to make sure that I'm in that church. I'm in that church that's preaching and teaching the Bible. I'm in that church that has the hand of God upon it. I'm in that church that's doing the work that God has called us to do. As God called Noah to build the ark, God has called the Lighthouse Baptist Church to do the work that he has this church to accomplish in this generation. Praise the Lord for it. Amen. Powerful stuff. Practical stuff as well. Until he calls it up. 1 Thessalonians, I can't go there, I run out of time. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 talks about it. Tells us this is what's going to happen. In my time, whenever I decide that the church age is over, I'm going to rapture it up. Oh, come on, you don't truly believe in a literal resurrection. You don't truly believe in the rapture of the church, do you? Wait a minute. Is that what God said? If God said it, I believe it. Because I know who God is. The reason you don't believe it is because you don't know who God is. If you do not believe it, you do not know who God is. If you know who God is and you know God said it, you'd believe it. Noah, this is my work. I'm calling you to. But listen to me. Let me give you a little motivation. Let me give you a little inspiration. Even I. I'm the one that's doing it. There's going to come a flood. I'm going to bring it upon the earth. From that moment forward, because Noah knew who God was, he knew there's coming a flood. And I better stay busy until I get this ark built, because I want it to be ready when the flood comes. Amen. What motivation? Another thing that God tells us, and there's so much scripture about this, is even though the church will stand and it will be here until God calls it home, there will be greater apostasy as we near the rapture. One of the signs of the rapture is near is the greater apostasy. There's always a fall, always been a falling away to some degree. But it will never be to the same degree it will be before the rapture. You look around, churches are falling into this apostasy today. They might still call themselves a church, and they might even have Christian tagged on it somewhere, either on the fourth or fifth line somewhere down the road there in the name of the church. But is it truly Christian if they don't stand for Christ? I think the Bible tells us that in that latter days, there'll be religion, but they'll deny the power of what Christ established. Wow, there's so much to talk about there. I can't go there. We're out of time on that. But Noah was inspired to finish his work because he believed in God's omnipotence. And the second thing, look at verse 18. Didn't know there was that much in one verse, did you? Look at verse 18. Even I am going to do this, Noah. So mark it down. It's going to happen. And you mark it down. God is going to destroy this world again. Only this time, he's not going to salvage any of it. He salvaged the base, if you will, of the earth. He destroyed everything on top of it in the air. But he salvaged the earth, the planet. The next destruction, this planet's going to be gone. It's going to be burned up. He's going to create a new heaven, then a new earth. Not a reconditioned one, a new one. Okay? But we look here. So it's going to happen, just as the flood happened, because God's the one that said it would happen. Verse 18. But with thee will I establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Noah, the second thing that I want you to be aware of that's going to inspire you and it's going to motivate you is I've made a covenant with you. A covenant is an agreement or a promise. It's also called a testament. The New Testament is a covenant that we have through Christ and the church. Noah believed in God's plan of salvation. When he believed in God's plan of salvation and he knew his part was to build this ark, which was part of God's plan of salvation, offering grace to the world at that time, then understanding, belief in this is God's plan of salvation, he was more motivated to commit himself to that plan. Not much different from today. I believe God is, it's his word. It's what he says is going to happen. You can mark it down, it's going to happen. And now what he's called us to is his plan. I just need to know it's his plan. Covenant with Noah. An agreement, a promise. God would later make one for Abraham called the Abrahamic covenant. Same principle, same thought. He would then make a Mosaic covenant with Moses. He would go on to make a Davidic covenant with David. Then he would make the last covenant with the New Testament covenant. God would make a covenant with those through which the promised seed of the Savior would come, because ultimately God's plan was for Christ to pay the sin debt of all humanity on the cross of Calvary and resurrect on the third day. Yes, knowing the ark was God's plan to offer grace before judgment, so Noah would be inspired to keep on building until his part was finished. I trust that tonight, understanding that, will be a motivation for you and I, will be an inspiration for you and I to do the work God's called us to. Until it's finished. Until it's finished. Wow. What a great inspiration that God has given to us. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed.